like his movies, but man, Timothée Chalamet just annoys me. He's everywhere during these Knicks games, just like with that girl who's just using him because he's famous.
Just not true love?
No, it's like Kendall Jenner's just a... She's just a parasite on whoever's the most popular person at the time. And you could be big for a weekend. I remember, like, remember when the Shaboozy song was, like, the biggest song, the, like, that tipsy song?
Oh, yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, like, you said, like, it's his big coming out party, and he's playing at this, I forget what event it was, and there she is in the crowd sipping her drink. Oh, Shaboozy. And then, like, all of a sudden, the next week, he wasn't famous anymore, or he's still famous, but that song kind of fizzled out. So she goes to the next famous person, and now she's with Timothée Chalamet. The parasite sucks again. And it's just, God, Knicks fan. You know what? I give people like Ben Stiller credit because he's
like
always been there. I like him too. And you know what? Tracy Morgan's always there. And as annoying as Spike Lee is, because he thinks he's on the team, how they let that guy walk onto the court during a game is insanity.
It is. Dude, Drake used to be that way with Toronto. I can't believe it.
Drake does that. And Drake would like get into huddles and stuff with the team. What are we doing here? Even though Spike Lee does that, he does go to every game. So I'll give him credit. He's not like as much of a fake fan as like the Kendall Jenner parasite and Timothée Chalamet. Timothée Chalamet must weigh 70 pounds.
And he plays
like tough guys in movies.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong.
Dune, he's the man in Dune.
Oh, how are you the man in Dune? You're like literally like a stick figure.
You seem like a Dune guy, Ted. You would love like...
I thought it's a little, the storylines are a little bit out there, but I do like it. Fantasy. I'm a big fantasy
Avatar,
guy.
Dune. That's right. Ted's
I do
out.
Like it. Yeah.
Dune was pretty good. I like
Dune 2.
The David Lynch one. The David Lynch one's awesome because it's just so wrong. It's like they tried to make him do a Star Wars movie, and David Lynch didn't want to do that. And they just
talking about the original?
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible. So bad.
It's really freaking weird.
It's so bad.
Yeah, but nonetheless.
Did you gain any respect for Kelsey? Speaking of the courtside fodder, Travis.
That was, God. No, it made me hate him even more.
Okay, good.
The way he's faking, I'm an everyman, look at me.
And like, he chugged a beer.
And there are, right, so the chugging a beer, and it was like, and then people were getting mad that it said, Travis Kelce's fiance. Oh, wink. Get it? Oh, I hated that. And that was like everywhere, too. So-and-so is upset, or, you know, there's people complaining that ESPN called it Travis Kelce's fiance. Yeah, like they didn't mean to do that.
How long does that last, that relationship? Oof. What's over under on a marriage?
5 years.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to end bad, I think.
When it ends, it's going to be the worst because there's nothing for him. Having her fans turn on someone is going to be just like
so true.
Hell to pay.
That's so true.
Hell to pay. I always thought it was so awful. She did like all of her boyfriends completely wrong. Like these guys that she dated, she'll write these songs about them that'll say these horrible things. And like these guys can't defend themselves. They don't have the audience that she has. What are they doing? Like Jake Gyllenhaal and all these other dudes who like date her.
John Mayer.
Yeah, John Mayer.
Well, she does all her own writing too, right? I mean, that's debatable.
I think that she is a songwriter. Okay. I'm not going to take that away from her. But she does have a lot of guest writers and a lot of people help her. It's a machine and it's to keep moving. This is a very big, it's an industry. The Taylor Swift industry is a very big thing.
I feel like that you go into a relationship like knowing that potentially could happen though. I mean, Alanis Morissette is famous for that, right?
With Dave Coulier.
Yeah, you're right.
She threw the dude from Full House under the bus.
Right.
But apparently he did some randy stuff, which is kind of wild. And if you listen to it, you ought to know.
Rossini put the playlist out. I mean, she did that on purpose.
You know, he talks tomorrow.
Yes, he does. I can't wait.
Vrabel talks tomorrow.
Will you go and ask him about the playlist?
So here's what I do. He's like, excuse me, Mike Vrabel, I just want to address the elephant in the room. You're really a fan of Styx? Like, you actually like the song Renegade?
If you give me a press pass, I'm willing to get kicked out of Gillette Stadium. Like,
stay on target.
Like, this is truly a song you put on one of your playlists? This is, like, not good.
Well, this is the Steelers.
I mean, he did get drafted by the Steelers.
I get that. I guess that's part of it. Sure. Right. I'll give him that. As long as it's
She was trying to rekindle old memories. Maybe this goes back to his Steelers days. I don't know.
Maybe.
How old is she?
Because wasn't it all like a whole, let's turn this thing around? He had like lost three games as the head coach of the Titans.
The title of the playlist, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like turning things around. And it had her like pink song, you know, her I'm cheating on my husband pink
song.
I'm
sorry, I brought this up. That's my fault.
Oh, well, either way, let's talk about them Knicks, shall we?
In a season that was filled with a lot of pressure, it was finals or bust. And they're headed to the NBA Finals. And Proctor will just dribble it out. Chance of let's go, Knicks. It's over. Yeah. Believe it, Knick fans, for the first time in 27 years, the New York Knicks are going to the NBA Finals.
All right, cut it off. That's enough.
Is that true? Was it Finals or bust for the Knicks? I mean, I don't remember.
They fired their coach. I mean, that was a bold move.
Yeah, they did.
People love Thibodeau, and they were like, what? How dare you fire Tibbs? But this guy's been good.
He's been great. I mean, think about what they've done. They won 11 in a row. I mean, think about it. They were down 2-1 to Atlanta, and then just went on a hell-bent, just absolute crushing run where they were up by 40 last night on Cleveland. And through three games, they just about doubled that Sunday night. It was total dominance. And you know what's so great about it, too, is that it's now for the first time, like you said, Ken, for the first time because they're just they've obliterated these teams, that I'm thinking we might have a decent final.
Right.
Because I was thinking whoever ended up going out to the West was running into a buzzsaw.
And OKC's banged up a little bit.
Dude, it's a good point. I mean, they swept the Sixers. They swept the Cavs.
Yeah.
They're sitting here waiting for these two teams to beat the crap out of each other.
June 3rd. They're waiting till June 3rd. That's when the finals start.
I mean, they'll be a little rusty to start, kind of like they were, I think, in the first game against the Cavs in this series. But that is going to serve them well, all this rest they're getting.
It was a 19.4 average point differential that they had this postseason. It's the largest by a team entering the finals in playoff history. It even beat the 2017 Warriors, which was like 16 points. Yes,
yeah, you know who deserves all the credit, Rich?
Oh, of course.
They are
cursed. Oh. Oh man, you gotta let it roll. That's when Danhausen, the wrestler, came onto the set, and none of the people knew how to react. They're just like, "Oh yeah,
they are cursed."
Oh, oh.
Is he lying?
Oh man,
why? Oh man,
sorry, Cavs.
Because we're here. No, that's
Danhausen came in and cursed the Cavs, and boy, they were cursed. All I know is that last night I turned on the game a little bit late, and I immediately
it was over.
But I saw James Harden launch up a three and then get lazy getting back on defense. And then it was just like a breakaway dunk.
Rich, they had 25 fast break points in the first half against Cleveland.
Inexcusable. That's effort. Like that's effort and lack of it. And that is the James Harden way.
That's embarrassing. Can I just a point I want to make on that is that you see the teams that are going to be playing in the finals are up tempo. It's not slow the game down, half court basketball. Like it's usually been in the playoffs. It's a different style of Celtics. You listen, it's a different style of basketball. Now they're being played in these the last few years with the up tempo pace that these young teams are showing out there.
But Harden wants to be back. Like he's coming back. I mean, I see all these reports. They're going after LeBron. They're going after the Giannis. But Harden is not going. He's going to opt back in.
I'll tell you who's not going to want him back, and that's the fans after hearing what he said after the game.
Amazing.
So you embarrassed yourself, and not only just the team embarrassed themselves, but James Harden, the amount of times I saw him lob up a three, miss, and then fail to get back, and whether he put his hands up and looked at the ref or just jogged down to the other end, Brunson would lob one down court and they would make an easy bucket. It was embarrassing. It was all effort, and Harden was by far the biggest offender. But if you're a fan and you're watching that game, I mean, you probably turned it off at the half, as you probably should have. Mm-hmm. But if you heard him after the game say this, would you want him back?
No doubt that this group can get there. I've said that all year. I think the biggest thing is you just use it as a learning lesson. It's a tough learning lesson. Now we know, right? I mean, that's not how I like to say things, but you know what I mean? We know. Like, you know what I mean? And this team that we just faced had to go through this. Maybe not this way. Right, but they've been together. They've been a core group and had to go through this tough experience. So this is our turn. I'm sorry for the city of Cleveland for it to be like this in a sweep. Like,
sorry, real quick. That's Donovan Mitchell. That's Donovan Mitchell. And Donovan Mitchell was great. Right? Is that the Donovan Mitchell clip right there? Yeah, that's Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell was great. Donovan Mitchell, as a matter of fact, ripped into the team when they were down by a ton when the game was they had lost. And Mitchell,
did
I saw him
doing his spider things.
Oh, yeah.
Those are so cool.
But he was screaming at his guys when all hope was lost. And Donovan Mitchell even said, this was ass. The city deserves better. Now play the James Harden one, if you don't mind, Stiz. I'm sorry.
I mean, I can't even answer that question, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was 4-0, but I don't think we had a chance as far as our best shot, from a standpoint of the circumstances.
you know, obviously they dominated us 4-0. But yeah, I don't know if I can necessarily answer that question. Just because genuinely, I do feel like we are the better team. But you know, series wise, you know, it didn't show it. So tough question to answer.
You are the better team.
Wow, these guys cut themselves so much slack. It's unreal. They say this stuff. Kenny Atkinson said the analytics said,
we
are you kidding?
He says he's a better team. That sounds a lot like this was my favorite season.
It's unbelievable.
You didn't just lose, you got embarrassed. You weren't the better team, you weren't even close to it. And you know what? And maybe it's just because the loser mentality permeates that Cavs organization, because their coach, Kenny Atkinson, mm-hmm. before game four, said, I can't believe he said this. Matter of fact, when I read the quote,
that's embarrassing.
I had missed it the day he said it. I read the quote, I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of funny. And then I realized, oh, my God, he actually said this. This is Kenny Atkinson before game four.
Analytically, I think we've won the I said 3 out of 3. We're 2 out of 3 in the expected. I don't know if you guys follow that. There's an expected score, you know, and we won 2 out of 3. And I know you're looking confused, but there is really, you know, if you believe in process and all that, like, man, I take that layer. Us shooting way below expected, them shooting way over. You know, and I know no one wants to hear that. I think you guys like hearing it. I know, you know, general public, no one wants to hear that. Everyone's outcome based. And, you know, sure, I get that too.
Analytically, they won 2 out of 3.
Is there a championship? You can put an analytic banner, a championship banner up. Because for the coach to say that and then Harden to say what he said, it's amazing how they let themselves off the hook.
We should stop being outcome based.
Yes, right. I you know, I saw a somebody made a big banner and it said, "Congratulations, Cavs!" Analytically in the finals.
Seriously, it's embarrassing. The mindset has changed. The AA
is it generation or is it
generation?
It's analytics.
It's both.
Or
it's both. Yeah, I mean, it's both. It's a way in which these players, teams, front offices, organizations, they don't the pressure. So it's their way of handling. The disappointment is to say it's about the process. It's, you know, it's about the journey. It's not about, you know, winning, championships. It's about trying to get there. That's the whole thing.
It's like a mental health thing.
It is. That's what it is. It's a way in which they process it so that they don't feel like they're failures.
But the problem is though is that Ted, you know, sports fans are fairly smart. Like they can watch the game and they can figure out who's to blame and what was to blame for the loss. So if you just went up there and you said, I wasn't good enough, our team wasn't good enough, we just failed you as fans, it's over. It's almost like the criticism stops. But you say, we were the better team.
You are the better team.
Right. Everyone's killing you for an entire offseason. Like, who do you think you are?
It's a little like the Dan Duquette, we spent more days in first place than any other team in the league back in 2001. Yeah. But it's just like every team does it now. Like, you should study the Dan Duquette failure. And that should be part of your media training. Mm-hmm. Don't say this after we lose.
Yeah, right. And that's why I loved what Donovan Mitchell said. Like, Donovan was like, we were ass. He actually, I think, used that term. Like, we were ass. And, you know, this was not good enough. You know, hopefully we can continue to build. But right now, that wasn't good enough. And that's perfectly fine to say. You can say, hopefully we continue to build. But, you know, this year, that is not good enough. And it's not good enough for our fans. Because that ends the conversation. I don't understand, even mental health-wise, why somebody close to them just says, if you want the noise to stop and you want to have a healthier offseason where you're not hearing it from all angles, just say that you stunk and say
so
that it
easier.
Wasn't good enough. And it ends.
Mm-hmm.
There's silence after that.
I don't mind hearing this kind of talk, this kind of language at collegiate and lower levels, because it's really at the end of the day, they're amateurs and they're not paid. These guys are paid to do a job. And I hear them talk like,
well, collegiate level now has changed. I mean, does that change the way you expect a college athlete to talk with all this NIL money? I mean,
I hear what you're saying, but you have. I mean,
still, they're just
you're still
young.
A kid.
They're still kids, right? Yeah. It's still not theoretically their profession, even though they're getting paid. They're still, you know, it's not like it is in the pros. So I just think that's how you kind of tell your kids, you know, hey, it's about process, it's about getting out there and trying. Hell, it's gotten into the pros where they think the same way now.
Yeah,
my favorite season of my career.
You've got that. What? You've got Joel Embiid saying that, you know, this was like the best year that he's had. And right after they got him, once again, swept, embarrassed by the Knicks. You've got James Harden now saying that. But Kenny, you knew that James Harden was going to say something dumb because it's never his fault. Wherever he goes, it's always somebody somebody else's fault. Always is. And almost always, he's part of the major part of the loss.
Always.
But Kenny Atkinson, as a coach, you got to know better, man. You can't say, you know, analytically, we've won two of the last three games.
Is it a stretch, though, to think that...
maybe
you would... That maybe I can hear Joe Mazzulla saying almost the same thing if he was, you know.
I don't think so.
You don't
think? I think he's much. Well, explain why.
I just feel like he's kind of he thinks similarly. Like he looks for the silver linings. He's he's an analytics guy. I don't know. I feel like sometimes he can let his guys off the hook too.
He did say something this year, which I didn't like that much because it seemed like a total lie, and that was that, you know, when we won the championship, I didn't feel good.
That's what I was thinking. That's the quote. That's the quote that got him, became a man.
And you're like, really? You didn't feel good when you won? I saw you flipping out like a madman being electrocuted when you were on that duck boat right there on Boylston Street.
But maybe fans are buying it. If this is the way younger generations feel, that they don't, it's not all about winning a one-and-done tournament. They want to feel good throughout the process. Maybe this speaks to the younger generation. I don't know. Are people buying it? Like, is it?
It's about the friends you make along the way.
Put up the Colts championship banner for winning the AFC. You know,
that's
place.
What it is. That's exactly what it is. It's the AFC finalist banner being hung. Right. Come on, man. You just can't do that.
I think the fans are. I mean, you look at the trending, the changes in how you cover teams. It's more Barstool. It's more about, you know, you there's nobody real hardcore reporters anymore that challenge teams and ask the tough questions. It's
only Jalen's Twitch.
That's it. But otherwise, there is a changing in, I think, mentality in the media and in fans about how we look at, you know, players and, you know, how they play the game and what should be accepted after losing. I just think it is shifting slowly, but, you know, solely to that.
I just think it's becoming easier to find those players that you want in the game in the final minutes. Like, it's the ones like Donovan Mitchell who, when you're down by however much you are, it's even though you know you're going to lose, it was let's not leave an embarrassment. Let's get out there and save some face, have some pride. And he's screaming at these guys, and then he takes accountability at the end of it. That's a guy you want on the floor at the end.
No doubt.
That's a guy you know that's going to give everything. Because sometimes miracles happen, and you never know, that deficit could get erased. God, my God, we've seen the Knicks do crazy stuff for the past two postseasons. Mm-hmm. The Celtics last year up by 20 in two games, and the Knicks came back. Maybe it was their turn. And Donovan Mitchell, maybe he was thinking that, or maybe he was just like, I'm on national television. I ain't going out like this.
Well, that's
I love players like that.
I do, too. There's not many, though.
That's why
anymore.
The Jaylen Brown evaluation is very tough. Because when he says this stuff, he sounds not like one of those players. But when you watch him, he does play like a guy who gives it all both ends of the floor. He's not James Harden.
That's true.
He seems like a guy who is willing to stand up and take accountability and speak. Hell, he speaks every freaking day on this Twitch thing. And he's going after media members, so he's got fight in him. So is Jaylen Brown a core guy that you believe in and want to stick with? That's what they're dealing with right now.
Well, I mean, the Jaylen Brown thing is unique in that I don't know whether there's anybody out there who's willing to give the Celtics something that's as valuable as Jaylen Brown. I keep hearing of all these mystery deals and things coming up. Yeah. Like, there's the new one with the Rockets, and is it Sengun, their big center that they've got there?
Would love him.
Who's very good. Yep. And his numbers this past year were excellent. And he's young, and he's up and coming, and he's just seems like he'd almost be perfect for what they're looking for. Is he Jaylen Brown, though? Nope, you're going to have to get a hell of a lot more than just him. And right now, the deals I'm seeing just don't seem to fit. I want to see some sort of shakeup. I would like to see some sort of difference. I don't want to go in and watch the same kind of basketball we've been watching for the past couple of seasons. I want to see some sort of different mentality, whether it's coaching or it's a different player in there that can shake things up in their style of play. But it's different. Because I don't think he's a loser. I don't. I think he says loser things after the game.
I like, that's a good way to put it. Because he certainly does. I just think that's such a difficult trade. Like, you want to, you know, both sides are going to want to look like they came out winners in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a difficult trade to pull off. I really do. So I don't see him getting moved. I really don't. And like we said all along, the easiest solution is change either the coach or the style in which you play.
Yep.
Instead
That's
of
not
changing
what Mark
the players.
Stein saying Giannis wants to come here. Oh, boy. Well, a lot of things happening.
Well, we will get to that also. We will get to Jaylen Brown versus Stephen A. Smith. It has reached a new level and an update on the all-drug Olympics that happened this weekend. I don't know if you guys watched the enhanced games.
That was worse than the Red Sox.
we will talk about the success of that right after this.